Yeah.
I try with CJ. Sometimes it just doesn't stick. I don't know. Folks, if you're just joining us, my name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm talking, there's two sort of big picture concepts that I'm talking about in this hour. And the first one is we're going to see continued election lawsuits. Like after the election, it has been the GOP that has filed election lawsuits where they make, frankly, technocratic arguments about little bits and drabs and dribs and things in election law and say, oh, well, you didn't include your zip code. Yeah, you're otherwise a citizen of North Carolina and a U.S. citizen, and you do have a right to vote, and here's your ballot, and yep, you clearly cast your ballot for candidate Jones. But, you know, because you don't have this zip code, your vote's now, quote, illegal and should be thrown out. But that's not what our Constitution says. And you can envision a world in which all of these little technical requirements, which the GOP seems enamored with layering more and more on every year, reach such a level that you do have clearly unconstitutional limitations on your franchise, which is our most fundamental right. And so my answer, my solution to all of this is, gee whiz, what we've got going on in North Carolina, where you've got both a federal court and the state court hearing arguments about the same case, and it's going on at the same time, and it's chaos and confusion, and the election's not certified. That's not a good approach. The good approach should say, if you want a ballot to be thrown out, the law has to say that that's the remedy for X, Y, and Z violation. And if it doesn't say that, you got to sue before the election, not after, when you see, oh, well, I lost. Then I'm going to say that those get thrown out. That's not fair. Not fair at all. So that's thing one. The other really big picture that I'm pointing to and at is that courts' involvement and the legal system itself is going to be incredibly important in this second Trump term, right? Whether we're talking about an election in North Carolina or whether we're talking about whether or not the American people ever get to see Jack Smith's reports on the January 6th incitement of an insurrection by Donald Trump or the super secret spy documents that he stole. And I'm going to get to that eventually today. I wanted to take a couple more calls and some text messages. Len from Madison saying this: if a citizen's fundamental right to vote was really valued, there would not be so many obstacles presented to exercising that vote. Yes, and that's why, as a concept, I have always opposed voter ID. It is actually a completely bogus, made-up problem, legislated, admittedly, on the record by numerous Republicans, including many Republicans in the state of Wisconsin. This is all about voter suppression. I'm saying it doesn't make sense to fight that battle anymore for Democrats as a political matter. It's here to stay. Let's arm people with the IDs that they need. But as soon as we start doing that, what will they do? Oh, there's this new thing that you have to have, and like the zip code and the signature and the social security number and blah, 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 blah. So why don't we just all agree? If the law's got to say, if you don't have X, your ballot gets tossed out. It needs to say that, or you have to sue and litigate about which ballots get tossed out for what technical failures before the election. That would certainly help, and we could all then play by the same rules. Andrew from Maine points out this: if you try hard enough, you can find a reason to throw out any ballot. Yes. Having been through the 2020 recount, that is indeed true. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Jack from Merrimack, you say what this afternoon, sir?
Well, this is just one additional reason why we absolutely need a law at the federal level that says, essentially, all American citizens who are adults have the right to vote, and anything that unreasonably interferes with that right is whether it's a law, a regulation, even a court case, is null and void. And you could include things like egregious gerrymandering or unreasonably demanding voter ID, throwing out tens of thousands, not of votes that have already been made, but tens of thousands of people off the voter roll. People should have to be challenged one person at a time, not as a mass of thousands.
It's interesting that you mentioned that exact issue too, Jack, because that, of course, was attempted in Virginia. There have been regulations and DOJ rules that say you can't throw out en masse. You need a person-by-person determination, of course, and also DOJ regs that have said you can't do that within 90 days of an election. Of course, they tried to do it anyways. And this gets back to my point of both the law has to clearly say if there is this problem, the vote gets thrown out. And I completely agree with Jack that we need a federal law to clarify the inverse, that these kinds of infractions can never constitutionally result in throwing out a citizen's otherwise validly cast ballot for some bogus little technical reason, which, by the way, there are a couple of places that talk about legibility of signatures. Just think of that freaking nightmare. What's legible to you maybe ain't legible to me. So, you know, let's toss the, who'd they vote for? No, yeah, toss that one out, but not this other one. I mean, geez. Folks, I see you all on the text line. I know we got going. I've got a very special guest coming up, but stick around. I got Dom Salvia at 3:30. We'll talk more about this. Love to get Dom's take on it. My next guest, his name is, got to get out my guest briefing here. Meredith Bobby Kogan. He's the Senior Director of Federal Budget Policy at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. We're going to talk about this Trump budget reconciliation and what programs you and your family rely upon, the Trump and the MAGA party.